You got to be careful there. Thank you. How many enjoyed the worship team? Amen. What time they bring in the food? All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. I want to just bring a short word. Say, that's impossible for you, Pastor. Next week, the kids will be singing. So, praise the Lord for that. And how many appreciate Joe? Amen. Luke chapter 2. Before I read the passage, I want to speak this morning on what are you doing with your signs? What are you doing with your signs? The Lord has made it very clear in His Word that He gives signs. In fact, when He left, He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He gives signs to confirm what He says is true. He gives signs to confirm what He's doing is true. He gives signs that declare what He is going to do. And He gives signs that deal with you in a very personal way in your life. I want you to notice a word in the Bible that is often used, and that is the word sign. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, you don't need to turn there, but it says the prophet Isaiah, who was 100 years before Christ was born, he said these words, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." It is my personal conviction that Joseph, who being warned in a dream not to put Mary away, that she was going to have a child, not through him, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, that not only did he have that conviction based on the dream, he also had Isaiah's prophecy that said there would be a virgin. And it is my conviction that he said, "Wow, she's it." In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, we read, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And throughout the Bible, God will speak in many ways to us. And one of the ways is by giving a sign. Signs get our attention. Signs, if we pay attention to them, draw us in to what the message is. Moses saw a burning bush. It was a sign. It drew him in. I will see what's going on here. But in the natural world we live, we see hundreds and hundreds of signs. A stop sign. All kinds of traffic signs. U-turns. Or you're allowed to make a U-turn or you're not allowed. A sign to tell you how fast you're allowed to go. You might see a sign with a big letter H. And you know that there's a hospital up ahead. The city has laws on what kinds of signs you can use to advertise your business. Signs communicate a message. We even had what is known as sign language, where one will use hands for those who are hearing impaired. I don't know if you watched the news this past week of the funeral of Mandela, where there was a man that was supposedly by each speaker, supposedly interpreting what he was saying. And then they found out that it was all gibberish. And they really milked that news story. Signs draw you in. And God will communicate to you with His Word. But He also does so by giving signs of what He's doing, either in the world or in your own life. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were tempting Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. The reason this was wrong, and you find a strong rebuke, was because God had already given them a sign. And not only did He give a sign at His birth, but He had been performing miracles, which were signs of His divinity. But in spite of the signs that they had been given, they were mocking them, and they really weren't interested in obeying God. And they weren't interested in surrendering and to serve Him. He had already done so many supernatural things. And so the Lord Jesus said, you're not going to get any more except one more sign, and that is as the prophet Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And we do know that that sign that He promised them on His death, burial, and resurrection did happen. There was a sign in the earth, a sign in the heaven, a sign under the earth, and a sign in the temple. We know that it says in Luke 23:44, when Jesus died on the cross, it says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. How's that for a sign, Pharisees? Matthew says another sign occurred in Matthew 27:51. It reads, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection. How's that for you, a sign, Pharisees? And not only was there a sign in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth, but there was another sign for these hard-hearted Pharisees that were asking for a sign but wouldn't obey the signs that they had been given. The Bible said in the temple, the veil was rent from top to bottom, signifying that no longer is the animal sacrifices required, but the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all paid for our sins. And Joel, I find it very interesting that on the day of Pentecost, when there were devout men under every nation there, that we know that all kinds of amazing things and signs were happening in the heavens and in things that they were seeing. We know there was a mighty rushing wind. We know cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. But also, it is very interesting that Peter stands up, and if you look at what he said in Acts chapter 2 as he addresses this crowd. Now, what I'm about to share with you, there has been research by people who know this far better than I do that have searched the way heavens were and the alignment of stars, etc., etc., and they are able to dial back with the great computers they have of what happened at the time when Jesus died. And they can tell that there was, and they're not exact, but it's close enough that gives credence to what Peter said, that if you'll just take a look for a moment in the book of Acts chapter 2, as Peter is addressing them, and these people, they saw them talking in tongues and speaking in a language they know that was their own native language, and amazing things. And some said, oh, these men are drunk. And Peter said, whoa, hold everything. Let me explain to you what's going on. And then Peter, he went on to say that, listen, and Peter, he quotes Joel. And what Peter says in the book of Joel, he says, here's what Joel said would happen. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And Peter said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. There was, scientists say, back at that time, a blood moon, which was an eclipse. And then Peter went on to say that you guys saw this, and you know you saw this. And that is why he had such a great success when he gave the altar call, that thousands gave and surrendered their lives to Christ, because they were observing these phenomenal things and these signs that did happen. God will use signs, and they are always intended to draw us to Christ. But at this time of Christmas, God was giving many signs announcing his birth. And not only did the prophets tell of his coming in their writings, he gave them different signs that would substantiate and confirm his word. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to read it. And I want us to listen, please. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, the sign, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." We have seen the star. You have seen the star. You say, "Have I seen the star?" Oh, yes, you have. But I want you to realize, I don't know where we get the fact that there are three wise men. Maybe because it says there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We really don't know how many men. There could have been five bringing gold, five bringing frankincense, and five bringing myrrh. Say five right. Five. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." This story is so full of truths that I want you to know, some maybe have walked in here and you're not sure where you stand with God and how you can get to God. This story has intrigued me for a long time, because these perhaps were pagans, not religious men, although some say they could be in a school that Daniel, who was captive in Persia, established. And down through time, these were those that had the word of God and were studying it. But why would pagan men or astrologers who studied the stars that don't have a gospel, the gospel hadn't been written yet, what interest would they have in a Jewish king? They have no way of knowing. Now, there were trade routes that went from India to China and all the way to Egypt. But I believe these wise men have studied the plenitude or the Pentateuch. I believe they found it in the Word of God to back up what they saw in the heavens. Because if they saw a star that gave them some truths, I believe God has His Word to be able to substantiate and confirm it, just like Joseph did. I believe that they read Numbers, chapter the 24th chapter, and at verse 15, because these wise men, the only way I can see, they totally were convinced that they saw a star that represented a baby was also reading the Bible. Now we know that stars often have messages. The Bible said in Psalms, "The heavens declare the glory of God." We know that God, when he came to confront Job and his friends, he began to speak to Job, and he asked Job if he understood some of the stars in the heavens and the constellations and the I don't know how to pronounce it, Orion and the star groups. And I'm sure that if you recall the people that lived back in that part of the country, it would be very hot during the day. And they would often, to cool off, they would crawl up on top of their roofs at night. And they would look at the heavens, and without lights like we have, the heavens were very clear. And so I'm sure they studied them. But I believe they had something else that they had, not only in reading the stars and seeing it, but also in the Word of God. Because in Numbers, here's what we read. This one of the greatest prophets and seers, they were called a seer. Didn't mean they saw her. It means that's what they were called. And later they were called prophets. But they would have visions and trances, and they would see things. And Balaam was one of the greatest. And Balaam is speaking against Israel. And notice verse 15. It says, he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. Now these wise men, I believe, are reading this. And here's what it said. He has said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter. Now scepter means, or a power, shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Can you imagine these men sitting around and saying, listen, here's a prophetic word. Here is a man that gets trances like we do. And they believed in trances and visions. And they said, this man says there's going to be a star that will rise out of Israel. And this child, this kingdom, this scepter is going to have dominion. And in verse 23 it says, and he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? Who's going to live? In other words, this became a life and death expedition. They knew there's going to be a king that has life and death in his hands. And who is going to be able to stand, said the prophet. In fact, he is agreeing with Isaiah when Isaiah said, who shall stand in that day? Now, what I'm about to say is just my opinion. But I don't think everybody saw and understood those stars like they did. Because when they get to Jerusalem, they don't see the star. And some people think the shepherds saw the star. The Bible doesn't say the shepherds saw the star. Shepherds knew because of the angels. But it's amazing how the Holy Ghost calls people to Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit can interrupt your life with signs. And sometimes you will get a sign and nobody else will see it and understand it. But you know, I think God's dealing with me. Saul, who later was changed to Paul the Apostle, when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus and no one saw the great light, quite like Paul did, it smites him and blinded him. Others weren't blinded, and others heard something, but they did not see what Saul saw. Acts 9:7, it says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. You remember the time when Elisha saw the chariots all around there to protect, but his servant didn't. And he asked God to open his eyes that he could see it. I say that God has a way of talking to you, and you hear it, but nobody else hears it. You see things, nobody else sees them, but you see them. You can have a sign that no one else will sense or see, It's only for your eyes. But most come by the way of a star. Now, they knew a star appeared that they saw. I'm not so sure it had an orbit because they followed it. All stars have orbits. But the Holy Ghost, I believe in God, put that arrangement there. And as they came, and you always have to go through Jerusalem before you get to Bethlehem. You almost have to go through a religious system before you get to Christ. And they first stopped at Jerusalem, where Herod the king, he had heard and being intimidated and thinking somebody might take his job and might rise up another power. He said, well, when you find him, come tell me where he is. We know his intentions were evil, but then the Bible said the star appeared again, and they went. And but this star has amazed me, and I alluded to scientists earlier that were able to track back and find that there had been a blood moon at the time of Christ's death, and they've also established that there was a very unusual thing in the heavens at that time of Christ's birth, and they're not exact on the time. Nobody really believes maybe Jesus was born on December 25th, but they do know it was in that few years, and they go through the death of Herod and the time of Herod and other historic documents. But they have also been able to monitor back and know that the planet Jupiter, along with another planet, had a shine unlike any other time in history that helps substantiate that. But I go back that God has ways of giving us signs. But I want to close with one more sign, because we're responsible to the signs and the ways that God talks to us. There's another sign I would draw your attention to, and it's found in the book of Luke. There were all kinds of signs happening at the time of Christ's birth. There were signs happening at the time of his death. And there are signs that happen to you when God tries to draw you. And I'm going to ask you, are you paying attention to the signs? Yes, I believe in this holy word. But I also believe that God will deal with you, whether you come to church or not, whether you're faithful or not, that he will speak into your life. And you will have an awareness, I think that's God calling me home. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 9, is a story about Zacharias, who was to be the father of John the Baptist. It's an amazing story, because not only must we take heed to these words. You say, Pastor, I'm not like the Pharisees. I'm not asking for signs to mock. But I want to put you in the category of Zacharias. He is a priest. He's old, he's faithful, loves God. It's his turn to burn incense in the temple. He's offering up prayers in the temple. When all of a sudden, he's in a part of the temple that no one could go, when an angel appears on the right side of the altar, Gabriel. He knew that this angel or this being didn't come in the door like he did. It was almost like Christ when he walked through the doors after the resurrection to the disciples. And so this angel appears, and he's afraid at first. And the angel says, not to be afraid. And then he lets him know that, Zacharias, thy prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. I ministered on this several years ago and said that that's an amazing thought. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife's going to have a child. If his wife knew he was praying for his wife to get pregnant at their age, she'd have clobbered him with a frying pan. I can only conclude that they had prayed for a child years earlier and they were unsuccessful. But now, and this ought to encourage us, if you've had a prayer that has been long time incubating, God always remembers them. But he let him know that his wife would have a child. And then he made a very dumb tactical error. He said, how shall I know these things? In other words, I need another sign on top of the sign I just had. And Gabriel, I believe, speaking for God, I don't believe he's speaking out of his own. As much as Jesus said, everything I say, I get from my Father. I believe this angel is representing what God himself would say. How dare you ask for another sign? And because of this, you're going to be a mute. You're not going to be able to talk until the baby's born. I say that because I want to ask you, are you obeying the signs that God has given you? Because God has ways, if you will not obey the signs that he's given you, he can ratchet it up. And that's what he did to Zacharias. He did come around. And when they asked what the baby should be called, he's sure quick to obey now. And call him John. And his mouth was open. He could talk. I say that because I believe the Holy Ghost has moved on my heart that I'm dealing with people that you've had signs and he's been talking to you. But you're not obeying the signs he's given you. And I don't want him to ratchet it up. But he will. And I would ask that you would walk in the light that you have. And that if God gets your attention, he has thousands of ways of talking to us. I was preaching a youth rally in Washington, and at the altar call, I was just praying, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me a name. I don't even remember the name now. It was an unusual name. And so I went back up and grabbed the microphone, and I did what God told me. I said, I'll just make a Nathan, wherever you are, God has his hand on you. And you've been running from him, and he wants you. And I had my hand on a big, tall fella. I had no idea, and this fella started shaking. And he looked at me, and he said, "That's me. I've been running from God." I thought, "You're Nathan?" He says, "I'm Nathan." And he got down and repented, and we repented. God called him to preach. God can speak to you in unusual ways. He can do it by a dream. He can do it by things that happen you know are not a coincidence. But it's a sign. Dave Thomas, in my home church, I remember him telling the story. He was brought up in church. He got away from God. And he's running from God. And now finally somebody quoted him a passage that said, the moon shall be turned to blood. He said, "I don't know if that's true or not." He went to a movie. He was in a movie house. It was a cowboy and Indian movie back in those days. They don't have blood moons turning to blood. Well, all of a sudden in the movie, a moon turns to blood. And it quoted the scripture. Dave Thomas knew, "God's showing me it's real." He said, "I got up and left the movie." And back in those days, you were sinning if you went to movies. But he went ahead and he repented. I don't mean he quit going to movies. I mean he repented and came to Christ. Because he knew what happened was real. And I close. I know I'm talking to people that God has been talking to you. And giving you signs. And giving you, that's God. Yes, it is. And so I simply say, don't be a Zacchaeus and ask for another one. Submit to the one that you've been given. He loves you. And he'll do anything to get you to come to him. We'll even throw a dinner. Would you stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, signs are so real. I believe you have ways of talking to your people. And it's always to draw us to Christ. The Holy Ghost comes to draw us to Christ. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we walk in the light that we have. And Lord, if you've been speaking to people, let them not procrastinate. Let them not put off what they know you're telling them to do, and you have different messages for each one of us. And you have ways of talking to us. I pray, Lord, you let grace come. I pray, Lord, that there rise up within their heart, Lord, I surrender. I'll live the way I know you want me to live. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Do you know a miracle just happened? I'm done in time. Let's pray over the meal now, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come to gather and fellowship one with another, Lord, let everyone feel the love of God and the love of one another as we do love one another. We ask that you accept our thanks for this food. Lord, we want to thank those that came and put a lot of work into making this place look real nice. We thank you for Sister Nichols, for Frieda and Barbara, and Lord Janet, and Lord, on and on the list goes. We thank them, Lord, and now, Lord, accept our thanks. Bless our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat.